When it comes to police work,
drop the bat.
He's over the gun.
Technology has given us a front row seat.
It's all captured on the Glendale police officer's body camera.
And with it,
we want to see that footage released quickly.
A surge in public demand for body camera video.
But there's a cost.
This week on Open Record, why police want to charge you.
The bill simply allows agencies to charge the requester a fee
for something that is currently part of the job. From the Fox 6 studios, this is Open Record. I'm your host, Brian Polson, and we have a full house today. So much so that Open Record's executive producer, Sarah Smith, who's always right here, she is off this week. Instead, I am joined by Fox 6 investigator Amanda St. Hilaire. Hey, Amanda.
Hey, glad to be here. I can't promise to live up to the hype of Sarah Smith, but I will do my best.
Well, Sarah did give us, by the way, in this envelope, it's not sealed, but I haven't looked inside. It is our off-the-record question for later, so we'll come back to that. To my right here is an attorney who specializes in public records law, open meetings law, the founder of the Wisconsin Transparency Project, Tom Kamenick. Hey, Tom. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. It's glad to be here.
And thank you for waking up early to drive in and get ready and all that sort of thing for this. We are also joined via Zoom by the president of the Badger State Sheriff's Association. Is that right? Sheriff Dale Schmidt.
That's correct.
Dale, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here and really looking forward to joining. What a great cast. You've got a great cast here of folks and looking forward to a fantastic discussion here this morning.
And it's an important topic. What we're going to be talking about today, first of all, I should point out, we are recording this episode on Wednesday, February 7th for release on Thursday, February 8th. And this week, we're going to be talking about something that has really transformed the world of policing, and that is body-worn cameras. But specifically an effort by law enforcement groups right now to change state law so they can start charging the public for the work involved in preparing those videos for public release. We're going to get started in talking about that after we take this quick break. So over the last 10 to 20 years, body-worn cameras have gone from virtually non-existent in Wisconsin to widespread use. And with that has come a surge in public requests for those videos to be released under the public records law. Preparing those videos, though, does take time. It takes technology. It takes some expertise. And now police want to be able to charge for that preparation if it involves redactions. Tom, I'm going to start with you because you're an expert in open records law. I really want to first start with real basics. What are redactions of public records and what does existing law say about them?
A redaction is removing something from a public record. So traditionally, if you had a piece of paper in front of you and there was information on it that was not supposed to be public, you would take a marker and black it out. We move to computers. You have programs now that can black things out of records like PDFs or emails or Word documents. But when it's applied to videos, you're talking either about deleting whole sections of videos that can't be shown, or sometimes blurring faces or blurring things that are shown that would break the law that are not allowed to be shown to the public.
What are the kinds of things typically that would need to be blacked out? And I think it's important to explain that under the state's open records law in Wisconsin, the presumption is government records are open. They are accessible. That's the default presumption. There are certain exceptions to that, right?
There's that presumption of openness that everything created by government is accessible to the public. And if the government officials want to withhold something, it's their burden to explain what it is that they're redacting, what it is that they're removing, and why they're allowed to do it. What portion of the law says they can't release this information or they can withhold that information?
Obviously, things have evolved because we've added more types of records, especially now when we're talking about audio and video. That's kind of changed the game a little bit, right?
Yeah, you'll have highly sensitive information sometimes in videos like somebody's date of birth, social security number, medical information might be protected under HIPAA, the Health Information Privacy Act. Or you might have a video of inside somebody's house, some place that they have what in the law we'd call a reasonable expectation of privacy, that it's not allowed to be released in a public record.
And Amanda, you obviously have been working in this field a long time, so you have seen, you know a lot about public records law, you file a lot of public records requests. How have you seen that change now that we're adding in multimedia, things like audio and video?
Well, it certainly takes longer to receive records, especially when we're talking about things like dash cam, body cam, and I know you have experience with this too, Brian. We've heard from records custodians that part of this is because the process is more complicated than a lot of people think. So you can say, hey, I want all the video footage you have from this incident on this night from 7 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Well, that's not just 30 minutes of video, right? Because you might have multiple officers responding to something. Like, you're looking at all of these different pieces of video. And by the way, I think we should talk about why people might want to see these records. Certainly, it's become something that's much more in the public lately as we talk about how police work is done. In some cases, and I'm sure we'll talk to the sheriff about this, the body camera video can exonerate someone who's accused of wrongdoing. In some cases, it can show us, hey, the narrative we got about this at first maybe wasn't exactly as it was described. So there's a real public interest in this, in serving as a check and balance on government. And it's why, not just with media, but with the general public, there's been a surge in this video, the request for this video. But I'd be interested in hearing the sheriff's perspective on that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The very first thing I want to say about our video, about our records, is the purpose for video is not necessarily transparency. As everybody says, the purpose for video, number one, is it's evidentiary. It's solely there so that we can gain evidence, so we can bring it to court, so that we can prosecute cases. That's the number one reason. But it also allows us to be transparent. It allows us to present information to the public when those things like you're talking about, Amanda, come up. When we have those incidents where there's question that we can show the public, that's not really what happened. And I'll tell you, the vast majority of times, that's exactly what happens, is we'll get a complaint about something, we'll do we'll show the video, we'll release a video, and it shows something contrary to what the narrative is. And so he makes a lot of really good points there. And we want to be very clear in law enforcement. We are not looking to do anything. We want to be transparent, is what I'm trying to get at. We want to present information to the public. We always want to be transparent and provide that information to the public when it's requested. The issue at hand, and what I think I'm sure we're going to be talking about here a little bit more, is the reasons why this is so costly and expensive. Some of the other people that are out there that are profiting off of the videos that are being released. You look at YouTube, you look at all of the other channels that are popping up where they're doing those requests and profiting off of videos from the public, and the huge increased expense that has come to the public as a result. You talk about body cameras, and in my county, I not only do body cameras, but I have in-squad cameras as well. I have both. The huge expense, not for the equipment, but for the storage and then the reproduction of that video. Those are the biggest expenses for us. And just here in Dodge County, I've had to add this year in 2024 an $80,000 a year position strictly for redacting and releasing of these videos because it's so time consuming. $80,000 that the taxpayers have to pay because of all of these requests that we're receiving.
You raised a lot of really important points there that I think we're going to be talking about. I want to come back to the YouTubers issue later because I know that was raised in one of the public hearings on the legislation that is now pending before the state assembly. It's already passed the state Senate. I should actually mention to our listeners and viewers who don't know about that, that the state legislature recently introduced legislation that would in fact allow law enforcement to charge for that redaction process. Under the law right now, Tom, as I understand it correctly, there are certain things that that government agencies, that records custodians can charge for, and certain things they cannot. Can you help us first just kind of break down what charges are currently allowable and what are not under the open records law?
This is part of the default presumption that records are public and accessible to members of the public. And the rule is that the government officials can't charge anything unless there is a specific provision in law saying, yes, you are allowed to charge this. And generally, that's four things. One of them is photographic processing, which doesn't come up a whole lot anymore these days. But the big ones are reproduction, so making copies of things. Locations, the time it takes to physically search for or even electronically search for a record, or mailing if you want things shipped to you. The law doesn't say anything about redaction, and there was a Supreme Court case about this about 10 years ago, a little less than 10 years, saying specifically that government custodians cannot charge for the time they spend looking at records to decide what not to give to the public. And, you know, I think that makes sense from a policy perspective, that when government officials are redacting documents, which they are legally required to do, they're giving the requester less than what they asked for. And it's unfair to ask the requester to pay for work to be done so that they get less than the full amount of records.
When it comes to video, which may not have been envisioned early on when this was set in policy, when it comes to producing these videos for the public, it sounds to me like what you're saying is the redaction process is one of the most labor-intensive parts of this. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. Let's say you have a one-hour video that you are releasing. And as Amanda indicated earlier, you might not just have one officer. You might have three or four that are there. And in my case, three or four means now I have six or eight videos because I have a body camera and an in-car camera. For every hour of video, on average, it takes us about an hour and a half to go through and redact it. The bigger issue here is that we can't just watch the parts that you really want. We have to watch the video in its entirety. And some of those things that we talked about earlier that have to be redacted, I, by law, cannot put, if a body camera's in a squad car and that captures the screen and there's information from the Crime Information Bureau on there, I have to redact that. We talked about Marcy's Law. You talk about all these other laws that we have to redact information for. It's very, very labor intensive. And you're talking about, like I said, for every hour, you've got an hour and a half of video you have to watch and then redact. Or it's about that amount of time. So that's really what we're looking at here is the amount of time that is costing the taxpayer because of so many, just an influx of requests for this information. And it's costing the taxpayers more because we have to add more. For as an example, my agency, where I'm adding an additional position, 40 hours a week to simply review and redact videos at $80,000 a year to the taxpayer. It's getting to the point where there are agencies out there, you may not really be focusing on this, but there's a lot of agencies out there that don't have body cameras yet. It's not required in Wisconsin to have a body camera. And as it becomes more labor intensive, more costly to the agency, to the taxpayers, those agencies are going to make the decision to not get these cameras in the first place, to not put a camera in their squad car, to not have a body camera. Agencies in my position where I've got to add $80,000, I'm very transparent. I want to make sure it's there, but other agencies may make that decision. This is just too expensive. We can't do it anymore. So we have to move away from the body cameras, which obviously also is not a positive thing for us, for transparency, for you and in the news organizations.
Amanda is here, obviously, as a Fox 6 investigator. She's also wearing two hats because she is a member of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council. And Amanda, you actually penned an opinion piece about this legislation that would allow for these charges. It does require a change in state law to allow a government to charge for redactions of records. And in this case, it's specifically audio and video. You wrote in opposition of that. Tell me, based on especially what you heard Sheriff Schmidt say, why?
Well, first of all, Sheriff Schmidt, I have, speaking to as many records custodians as I do, I have great sympathy for the amount of work and the labor that goes into that. And I'm about to say something you probably won't like very much. So the premise of Wisconsin's open records law, and it's right there at the beginning of statute 19.31, is that delivering public records, and we all agree these are public records, to the public is a routine operation of government. Routine means it's part of the job. And the issue I took with the testimony that came out of the Senate hearing about this, and with some of the verbiage that gets used, is that it treats the provision of these records as extra. Oh man, this is becoming such a big thing and we got to provide this to people, so now we have to have an extra charge. When I did a story about the location fee, which we could have a whole separate podcast episode discussion about, to kind of prove a point, I called up my at the time news director and recorded it. He had no idea what I was going to ask. And I asked him what would happen if I, as a salaried employee, tried to charge him extra for some of my routine work. And his response was laughter, right? Because that's typically not how it works. Well, if the taxpayer, in this case is the employer, and the government is the employee, which is the way our system is set up, it seems odd, is probably the polite word I would use for it, that the government gets to come back and charge for something that the law says is part of a routine operation. And unfunded mandates are a thing across every form of government. So I'm wondering if there would be support for school districts saying, oh, you know what, all these parents want to look through the curriculum now and have all these questions. We just got to start charging an additional fee for every parent-teacher conference or for everyone who wants to come in and look at the curriculum. DPW, ah, man, these potholes are getting crazy. So, you know, if you want us to fix the roads on your street, we're going to bill you individually. Right? There are many things in our government that accumulate as costs, and there's certainly a process for that when it comes to budget requests, when it comes to the tax dollars that we use. But I feel as though, as a member of the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, that it doesn't do it justice to treat this as an extra thing for which an extra fee is required, because essentially the taxpayer then gets charged twice.
Sheriff, any response to that?
Yeah, well, there are a lot of different things, and I certainly appreciate where you're coming from. As a business owner, I did have a street in front of me that was completely repaired, and I got a $16,000 bill for it. So that already happens, Amanda.
Did you like getting that bill? Was that an enjoyable experience?
I didn't, but it is a reality of where we're at. And when you take your employee-employer relationship, the government. And I get this, not all government entities look at it this way, but the government is supposed to be good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars. So really what you're talking about is you have a taxpayer who is requesting from the government for us to give additional services that the taxpayers have to pay. So at the end of the day, you are asking for more money from the taxpayers.
If I could respond to one thing, could you just say the taxpayers asking for additional services? Based on what Amanda's saying in the law says it's not an additional service, it's a routine duty. Is it asking for an additional service to request the production of records that are already guaranteed under the law?
It's new and different. I think we have to all acknowledge that this is new and different, because this is something that historically, when the law was written, wasn't considered. It wasn't there as part of when they did the open records law, when they first passed it in the first place. Video wasn't a thing that was out there for law enforcement. And so this is different. I think it's a totally different animal than what we're talking about. I certainly appreciate what you're saying. It's how do we pay for that? And how do we continue to provide the other services, the other mandatory, the other routine services that we provide, if we have to pay for these in addition? So it's finding we have a very small bucket, believe it or not, in local county governments, cities, small villages, a very small bucket of money that we have to provide law enforcement services. Do you know where that $80,000 came from my budget to be able to put that into place this year? It wasn't just from going out there and raising taxes. I had to reduce my patrol division line, the ones that are the front line out there responding to calls for service. I reduced my payroll and my patrol division line so that I could pay for these redactions. And that is the problem. That's what we're facing here. And in a way, you could say you're defunding law enforcement. That's not what it is, but in a way, that's what you can say it is, because the money has to come from somewhere. I have nowhere else to pull that money from. And we have all of these other requests that we hadn't seen in the past.
I'd be interested.
We have to find a way to pay for and provide those other routine services. And if I don't have a way to pay for these services, you can't have the other routine services that you've been able to appreciate for so long.
I do want to hear Tom's response to this, but we've got to take a quick break, and we'll get that when we come right back. Tom, you heard what the sheriff had to say. You heard what Amanda had to say. What are your thoughts on this?
First, I want to talk about when the law was passed. The Open Records Law was created in 1981, and it did address video at that time. Both video and audio recording were expressly included in the definition of records. So there weren't small cameras being worn on people's bodies and recording constantly at the time. But the legislators in 1981 were pretty visionary about it, and they were looking ahead to the possibility of video having to be reviewed and redacted, possibly. Number two, I live in Port Washington. I've never had a police call at my home. I've never had a fire call at my home. But I have no problem paying for those people who have had those things in my community through taxes, because that's part of the routine service. And I don't see provision of records to the public, because anybody can make a request for records. So anybody has the same availability to these, the same access to these records as the person who made the request. So I don't see that as any different. That's something we all should be paying for, because it's really a question about who pays. It is a labor intensive process to review video. There's kind of a lower limit to how efficient you can be about that, because you do just have to watch all of it. But I think that's something that should be borne by the public as a whole, rather than the individuals who are asking for these access to what are in effect their own records. The government officials are custodians of the records. They're holding it basically in trust for the public.
Well, and the reason I want to be really clear about one thing, the reason the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council is concerned about this is not just because people don't want to have to pay. It's not just because it's inconvenient for people to pay. It's because fees do discourage requesters. It's something that became very public in an internal Wauwatosa Police Department email a few years ago, where you had a member of the police department saying, well, you know, some people have used high fees to discourage these requests. And in the testimony surrounding this bill, there was a common theme from the supporters of the bill about recuperating time and resources. And unless the fees for this go to a time machine that nobody's told me about, it's impossible to recuperate time once it's spent. You only recuperate time if the fee discourages requests and you get fewer requests, which means fewer public records seeing the light of day. That's the concern about this. And I understand the annoyance and the inconvenience of getting the record requests from the YouTubes and the commercial reasons. This situation came up in Pennsylvania, where there was discussion around legislation to treat commercial requests differently. And the ACLU came out in opposition to that. And they said the reason is because the presumption in Pennsylvania's law, which is worded in a similar way as the presumption in Wisconsin's law, is that this record is public no matter who wants it, no matter why. And for everything, there is a trade-off, right? There are certain things that are trade-offs to having freedom. There are certain trade-offs to things being public. The trade-off to the presumption of transparency in this case is that you're not always going to like why someone wants the record or how they use it. It's still public. But the big concern here is that this will discourage requests and keep fewer records from becoming public. So, Sheriff Schmidt, I'd be interested in hearing your response to that.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with the premise that more costs will discourage record requests, but that is not our goal. And I think time can be recovered, and not so much recovered from in the past, but it allows us to continue the other services that we are expected to provide to the public. By receiving some additional fee for these redactions, it allows us to put those funds that we've been forced to put into redactions back into where it belongs, where it was taken from in the first place, and that's into our protection of the public.
My apologies. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt.
If I could just, I want to also respond to the earlier comment about the when it was created in 1981. Yeah, they were looking at video, but I would venture to guess in 1981, they weren't considering the fact that we had body cameras on every cop, that we have gigabytes upon gigabytes of data every single day that has to be stored and much of it redacted. And while they were looking at video and what potentially could be released, there is no way that they would have been thinking about and have the foresight to really take a look at all of the video, because it is an incredible amount of video that we are storing now with everything. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. If something isn't done, if we can't find some way to make this happen, I predict there will be less body cameras out there on the streets in the future. I think that's a very real possibility, because while in where you guys are living, you may be willing to pay that extra tax. when it gets to these boards, when it gets to establishing our budgets, they're not necessarily willing to give that extra money to do this. So you being part of your boards saying we need to do this would be important, because that's not the sentiment we're getting from all the boards, that here you can still continue to do your police services and you can have additional money due to the redactions. We're not having that same reaction across the board from all of the representatives that are representing the various municipalities and counties around
so
our state.
It sounds like the local elected leaders then, if they were to say to you, hey, we believe in public records and we believe in funding this, that you, is it fair to say if you felt like you had that support, you wouldn't feel the need to go to state lawmakers and ask them to change the state law?
Across the board, across the entire state, correct. And it's more than just my county board. I'm not speaking specifically to my county. I'm speaking on a broad spectrum across the county, areas in the northwestern Wisconsin where there isn't a whole lot of extra money. When you're living in Milwaukee, Waukesha, Brookfield, all those cities around Milwaukee, there's a little bit bigger tax base. It's a little bit easier to do those things. But when you get up into the Northwoods, Taylor County, Crandon, those smaller municipalities where they're first having to pay for the body cameras and the storage, now you're asking them to redact them and they don't have the funds to do that and they can't get it from their boards. It becomes very problematic. And so we're trying to find a solution where we can still be open. We can still be transparent. We can still provide these records to the public, but being able to pay for them and afford them without crippling our own budgets and being able to protect the citizens, which we're sworn to do.
But I hear, Sheriff, this is a very real concern for law enforcement across the board and across the state. One thing I wonder is that, and I heard this in the testimony for the bill, I also heard you say it today, that the number one cost with body cameras is not redactions, it's storage. How are you paying for that? That's a new cost you didn't once have. How are you paying to store all of this video you never had before?
A lot of agencies still aren't. And I want to make that very clear. There are a lot of agencies that still do not have body cameras, that still do not have in-car cameras, and aren't planning to do so in the near future. This is another reason why. Some of us have made that a priority, and I have made that a priority. I've had them almost as long as I've been sheriff. It's been a priority for me because I want to make sure I have good quality evidence for us to go to court, and I want to be able to provide that information to the public. And it has been a real struggle. So we've gone to our boards, we've asked for that money, we've justified it, and some of us have been able to make that happen. Others haven't. And there again, it's an across-the-board thing. You can't just take one agency in isolation. You have to look across the board through the entire state. And this is a real problem, especially when you get into those rural agencies.
And I do want to talk about, you mentioned the YouTubers, the people who are the high-volume requesters. I keep hearing that come up. I want to get into that in just a moment. We've got to take one more break, and we'll be right back. Tom, you look like you had something you wanted to say there. So I was going to get us into this YouTube question, but if you've got something before we get there,
I think the problem here is that it's too decentralized. Is that the proposal to fix this problem is to spread these costs out, not actually spread them out, but to rather target these costs at the requesters at the local level. But what if we do the opposite and we centralize everything? I think that the problem here is that you have too much disparity. Every county is doing it a little differently. Some are deciding not to do it at all. I think what I would like to see to fix this problem the best is to centralize it in the State Department of Justice. Use economies of scale and have the DOJ store all of this itself and have a unit within DOJ to do these redactions. Then you can have the specialists who are used to this, who can do it the most efficiently. Because the need for redactions is not different in different parts of the state. It's the same kind of information being redacted off of each video, off of each record. I think if you had a unit that was trained in how to do these, they would do them faster, at lower cost, and more consistently across the board. I think that's the best way to deal with this issue, rather than asking individual requesters to shoulder the cost, which, as you said, is just going to discourage a ton of them.
Increase public trust, right? Because if DOJ is redacting it, you have, I think, people who are a little less suspicious of what exactly is getting redacted. But you talking about standardization made me think of this. The proposal, the bill that would change the law, doesn't specify how each agency charges for redactions. And I can see that becoming a big problem down the road because we already see that with location fees. So I had, it was Milwaukee DPW at one point tried to charge me in their, how they factored in their salaried employees hourly costs. They included all of their benefits that they already pay this employee and tried to charge me for all the benefits that they would pay this employee regardless of my request. That's profiting off of a request. If we don't specify, let's say something like this were to pass with no clear specifics about how each department charges for the redaction and what that looks like, Sheriff Schmidt, to your point with the problems with each individual entity operating differently, I can see some major problems, and I see an opening for abuse of that as well. But I know you wanted to talk about the YouTuber, Brian.
Sheriff, I want you, before we go to the YouTuber thing, I do want to ask about the charges, because that is one thing. If you read the legislation, it says you can charge for the actual necessary and direct cost of redactions. Interpreting what that means will be left to each individual agency to determine what is. Do you have already in mind what the actual necessary and direct cost would be and how you would calculate that? How much is a video request going to be for a typical, let's say it's an incident that has an hour of video and there are four deputies. Now you've got 4 hours. What's that going to cost?
You know, that's a great question and something we really haven't analyzed yet, because, you know, a lot of times with state government, and I'll tell you that nothing in state government runs efficiently and effectively. It doesn't happen. Everything is slow. So putting the cart before the horse, going out there and saying, well, this is what we're going to charge ahead of time. I think really what we're looking at is the lowest cost charge would be the person with the wage that is the lowest that can conduct that search and that redaction process, which is typically in our support division. I will argue with Amanda regarding the making profit off of charging for the wages and benefits. We are paying for the wages and benefits for that hour. It's not making profit. It's recovering the cost.
But that's not how benefits you don't pay per hour. And that's an employee in the department whose benefits you're already paying. So I am going to push back against that, because the benefits
are the
benefits.
We'll have to agree to disagree. We'll have to agree to disagree on that, because if you break that out, and we break that out through the year, as this is how much it costs for that employee per hour for the entire year to work. And this is what we charge for per hour. This is what they're getting per hour. So I think you're dead wrong on that, Amanda.
So let's say for a moment then, if you have an employee whose salary and benefits are, their wage and benefits are $50 an hour that comes to that. And I know I've seen a lot higher rates that have been assessed on records that I've requested when location fees are added, but let's say it's $50 on the low end and it takes 10 hours to go through those videos. So we're talking $500 to request something that currently you can request under state law for free. That's where I feel like we go back to that chilling effect. How many people in the public who really want to see transparently what their law enforcement agencies are doing can shell out $500 for an open records request?
Sure, and I understand that. That's why I'm saying I can't really put a number on this, because we don't have any legislation in place yet at this point that we can really analyze. I'm happy to have that discussion as far as how that works. I'm happy to have discussions to come up with some caps on that potentially. But I think that discussion needs to take place. At this point, I really can't put any numbers on where we would land.
We're investigative reporters, so we like numbers, we like data. And one thing I've noticed, I haven't seen great measurements of this issue, and I'd be very interested. So I've seen examples, I've seen anecdotally, hey, it feels like this is a lot. And we, as media entities, we have to challenge ourselves, right? If it feels like there have been a lot of shootings lately, okay, well, let's look at the numbers and see what they actually say, because what it feels like and what it looks like can sometimes be two different things. Sometimes that gut instinct is spot on and the numbers prove that. One thing Pennsylvania does, and there's a state office dedicated to open government, but they do surveys of every agency that provides open records. The number of requests they get every year, how many hours they spend providing those requests. Those numbers are hugely helpful to get the pulse on how big of a problem is this actually. So it strikes me, we have this legislation. It's moving through the process, I haven't seen anything that measures the problem that it's trying to solve in a way that would give people some concrete information other than some of the anecdotal things and some of the generalities. So I would want to see a cost breakdown of the average it would cost most requesters to get these redactions. And I would want to see how many hours people are spending on this request and what that actual cost comes down to, because people also want to know what that money's going toward.
Sheriff, do you have any metrics in your own department on what an average video request takes to produce?
I know you mentioned an hour and a half for every hour, but I'm wondering how that was measured and if that's only in your department or if that came from a different department or where that number came from.
I haven't sat down with a stopwatch, but I can tell you from my own experience with one of my secretaries who has been overwhelmed with these over the last year. And it's really been over the last year because we've really, really taken a good hard look at it over the last year. And to be honest, we probably, we won't go into that discussion. She's been struggling with keeping up with all the open records requests. And the problem has been is all of the other records requests have now been delayed. So when you're looking for your typical paper request, they're delayed because she is now doing more and more video redactions. And I have to trust my staff when she tells me it takes me about an hour and a half to do an hour video because she has to watch the 60 minutes of that video. And then she has to go in and she has to do the redaction process, which isn't easy. It isn't as easy as just quick putting a little box around it and making sure that it's effective. She has to put the box around it, make sure that it's redacted, and then she needs to review it to make sure nothing gets missed because the AI software that we're using to make sure that we're tracking that face doesn't always catch everything. So then she has to add additional in there. And that's hour and a half, I think, is a very reasonable amount of time to review 1 hour after watching the entire video. You have at least 60 minutes. And then you have 30 minutes of work time to get that done. I think that's a reasonable amount of time that anybody could take that make that assumption because it takes time to go through. Then not only do you have to do the video, but then you have to redact the audio that goes behind it as well. And if you have that person showing up in that video multiple times throughout that video, so you see them for the first 5 minutes, you don't see them for 5 minutes, and then they come back for another five, you have to redact them twice in both areas. Hour and a half. Very reasonable amount of time to associate with each hour of video we're watching.
We're talking about time, and I know yours is short because you've got to get somewhere. I really appreciate the amount of time you've spent with us. I don't want to let you go before I address that YouTubers thing because I've heard it repeatedly that there are certain requesters that are kind of inundating the system and then using these videos to post on social media as their own sort of form of profit, their own sort of form of money making. How much of that are you seeing? How much of your volume is coming from these repeat requesters who are just posting the videos to social media versus maybe traditional media? And I know that doesn't matter under the open records law. I'm just curious, actually, if you have an idea of what proportion of the problem are these requesters.
It's coming from nearly every pursuit or critical incident that is publicized. The pursuits especially, those are the ones that people really like to see on these YouTube videos. Nearly everyone that is publicized, we're getting those requests. And I'm seeing them from other chiefs and sheriffs from other agencies are saying the same thing. Whenever they do a news release on this that gets made public that they had a pursuit, that triggers these individuals to make all kinds of requests for these videos. And so it really has increased the amount. And again, we're not opposed to the transparency. We're not opposed to sending them to these individuals so they can post them. It's just that these individuals are now profiting off of our videos and costing the taxpayers for the redactions in the first place. If we didn't have these redactions to do, we wouldn't be asking for this. But that's the problem, is the amount of time that it's taking us to do all of the other things in response to these requests. It's taking away from their abilities to process reports, process the paper requests. We would love to be able to just give this all away and provide it free of charge. We would love to, but there's a cost associated to us, and we're trying to find a way that we can mitigate that cost to the taxpayers of our counties, the taxpayers of our municipalities. That's where the problem is. Our taxpayers are having a real burden with doing this because of the serious increase in overall requests because these videos are available now.
Sheriff, if you have a sense of it, my understanding is a lot of these requests are coming also from criminal defense attorneys doing work on behalf of their client and getting the information they need from their cases. You know, how much of the bulk is that, if you know?
So we don't see a whole lot of that, but that is an interesting perspective, they receive through the discovery process all of these videos unredacted. We send it to the district attorney. The district attorney then sends it over to them unredacted. And then these defense attorneys come back and they do an open records request for the same information. But I can't simply release that information. I need to redact it before we send it out to them. So they already have the unredacted version. Now they're looking for the redacted version on top of that. So that's an increased cost. I wouldn't say that it's a huge amount of the requests that we get, but there are a fair amount of those that we have to do as well. Don't really understand the rationale behind it, but it's a reality of something we've had to do for a very long time.
And Sheriff, I'm sorry I've got to cut this short because I know we've got to get you going and we're running short on time here as well. But I got to tell you, we could talk about this for hours. I think it's an important topic. It's obviously one that you're really feeling on the law enforcement end. We certainly have some questions from the end of those who do the requesting, but I appreciate the time you've given us today. Thank you for engaging in an important debate.
And I appreciate it as well. I appreciate the partnership that we have with you at Fox 6. It's always very valuable to us in law enforcement as well. So thank you very much for the time.
All right. Thanks, Sheriff. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go off the record right after this. And that's a good time for us to go off the record. This is the part of the podcast where we get a little more casual and have a little fun by answering a question for which we literally have not prepared because Sarah's not even here to ask it this week. She's put it in this envelope.
I don't know. That envelope's not sealed.
It's not
sealed.
I'm skeptical. I haven't seen it. I don't know. What do you got? Let's see. Well, let me guess. It's a question about air fryers. No? No.
Ooh,
it's
not. You just got a new one.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, no. This will go off the rails if we start talking about that. They know my love for air fryers. So... It literally says shake the paper around like Sarah always does. Okay. You're filling up your gas tank. It stops because the tank is full. Do you round it off to the nearest 0.00 cents or 0.05, or do you just leave it where it stops? Like if it's 37.72, do you leave it or do you try to get it to, 37.75 or 38? What do you do there?
I leave it. I'm not a psycho. I don't have time. I don't have time to round it up, and then you go a little bit over, and then you keep going. I don't know what's maybe it's at its absolute max. I don't want to overfill it.
No,
sounds like taking some chances.
I haven't paid for gas with cash in I don't know how long. I think that's the only reason I would do that, or if I'm
exactly
that much of a stickler in budgeting that I write everything down and I want it to line up.
It makes me think it's a psychological. I just need it to seem even and neat.
I feel Sarah definitely rounds it off
a little.
Did I just call Sarah a psycho?
Maybe. But I think in a loving way. I think she'll
love.
Because it's credit card, whatever the cost is fine. But my concern is not really where the numbers end up. It's did it actually finish off my tank? Or sometimes the thing slips and it ends too soon.
You want to get the extra 2 miles on that gas.
I pump it a couple of extra times to make sure. And then, if a little gas flies back out at me, then I know that that doesn't usually happen. But I know that's probably not good for anything, safety, environment. So I don't do that. But I do like to know that, give it a couple more to make sure that it actually finished the fill up. And you can guess that, gauge that by the number of gallons typically. But if you're I tend to drain my tank. I don't know about you guys. I go pretty low.
This surprises me 0%.
So I know my tank is a 15-gallon tank.
You always were good at pushing deadlines.
I still am. And so I figure if it gets to, 14-something, I'm probably good. If I'm filling up my tank, though, and I still had a quarter tank, and then it's at around 11 or 12, I'm like, was that enough? I don't know. So that's one of the reasons I like to take it down so I know how much.
What if you're filling up your lawnmower gas can?
You're thinking about this way too much. Dude.
Wait, I'm sorry, Todd, what was that?
What about your gas can for your lawnmower? You're filling that up and you can't hold down the handle the whole time because it always keeps triggering the auto
turns off.
So you have to ignore that and go halfway, but you're trying to watch the numbers go up. And then I've got a trick though, because my in-laws taught me this. If you've got one of those newer gas cans that don't fill very well and don't empty out very well at all, go on Temu. Temu, you can get imported ones that don't have the little stupid regulators on them.
Go on what?
Temu?
Temu?
T-E-M-U.
That's the new, the Chinese Amazon, basically.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Right. A lot of
new things.
Yeah, you can get gas cans that actually work, and you can get them to fit on whatever you have.
I love that we have our Wisconsin Transparency Project attorney on here telling us how to get around regulations and get your gas can.
I spilled way more gas trying to fill up these non-fill tanks than
that's actually the
old one.
Amanda, Tom, thank you so much for being here. It really was a great spirited debate. I think it's an important topic, and I hope we hear more about it going forward.
Glad to be on. Thank you for having me.
I'm just looking for the part at the end where I'm supposed to say what I'm supposed to say.
Here you go. Yeah, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss
on Open Record, an issue you think we should investigate for Fox 6 News, send us an email to fox6investigators@fox.com. As always, thank you to the people who make this podcast possible, our executive producer, Sarah Smith, editor, Dave Machuda, and our chief photographer manning the video switcher, Kale Zimney. With that, I'm Brian Polson. We'll be back next week.